God. And so, God, we do pray and uplift today this unspoken prayer request that Brother Ron has. God, we pray that your will would be at the center of it. You would guide and direct. And may Jesus Christ receive the honor and the glory. Be with whoever is affected by this. And that we would just honor and praise your name for the goodness that comes out of this prayer. And so, God, just be with him. Be with Purnell today over at the University of Michigan. Have your hand, healing hand upon him. Give the doctors wisdom. They can figure out what to do to help him navigate through this, and he can get his body healed up and get his strength back and be able to be home soon. God, we do pray you'll be with Sherry as she continues to recover from her surgery. We pray for her treatment plan, that you'll have your hand upon her and her life. God, we pray for Claydine Bagwell today, who also watches the live stream. God, we pray you'll just be with her. Have your healing hand upon her, and just thank you for her faithfulness in loving you and serving you. God, we do pray for Ruth, and that you'll have your hand upon her. It's going to be 92 in August, and what a sweet lady, Christian lady. And God, we love Ruth. We just pray you'll be with her and just have your hand upon her and the family. And it's difficult as you age and get into years and health things come up and just not able to be out and about. So God, we pray you'll have your hand upon Ruth. Be with all of our shut-ins. Have your hand upon those that need you as a divine physician today. Thank you for being a prayer hearing and prayer answering God. We love you, and may all the praise and honor and glory go to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All God's people said amen. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, today in John's Gospel, chapter 15. We're going to be in John's Gospel, chapter 15. You know, when you study the Bible and then God lays on a pastor's heart a message to preach, you always try to figure out, okay, what title should I put on this message? Sometimes I find myself in a situation and say, well, I got about three titles I should put on one message, but I only got to narrow it down to one. And I titled the message today out of John 15, Believers Are Called to Fruitful Living. Believers are called to fruitful living. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, you know, really what I should title this is Living Your Best Life Now. And living your best life now. I really believe God intends for you and I to live our best life each and every day. And sometimes I realize the circumstances of our lives, or the valleys or the mountaintops of our lives, will maybe dictate how we feel or how we think or how we act or how we navigate through the week. But really, if you look at it here, we're going to look at some things in the Bible that I think are really important, that believers, that the Lord Jesus, you know, there are certain places in the Bible that if you're using a red letter edition Bible, this would be one of those chapters in the Bible that every verse in the chapter is in red letters. That simply would look at it and mean that it's been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been given words that he's spoken. And I love that song on the whisper that he talks about here. If Jesus could whisper in your ear, what would he say? Well, it's written right here in the Bible. If we'll just listen to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his Word. And so I want you to think about this today. You know, many people measure their fruitfulness of their lives by the quantity of their activities. So I'm not talking about your activities today. You might be an usher. You might work on a financial counting team. You might work on the praise band. You might work in the sound booth. You might be an usher. You might be a Sunday school teacher. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being fruitful in the Christian life. Jesus gave us some guidelines. He gave us some important things to consider. And I think we ought to take a look at it, because sometimes we can have activities and we think we're being spiritual, and they always don't lead to spirituality. That's not what I'm talking about. So this does not necessarily give a true picture of the quality of what God expects our lives to be. So who we are is more important than what we do. Let me say it again. Who we are is more important than what we do, and we find that identified here in John chapter 15. And so how do you measure? How do you put a measuring stick on the fruitfulness of your Christian life and your Christian living? Well, John 15, I think, addresses some of this. Let's look at it. Jesus speaks here about the vine and the branches. He says in verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, that's in Christ, a believer in Christ, a saved convert in Christ, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, he says. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, in verse 7, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a great verse to keep in mind in our prayer life. If we abide in him, in verse 7, my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein, in verse 8, is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto you them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them what the works which no other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Well, you might underline that and think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ, he had no sin, nothing. There was no reason they should crucify him. They had no reason, but they hated him. And they crucified him. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, the Holy Spirit is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. God desires, I want to go back to that key verse in verse 5. God desires fruitfulness for the believer. In verse 5, I am the vine, Jesus says. Ye are the branches, the believer. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The key to being fruit-bearing and a fruit-bearing Christian is to remain on the vine. You know, it's interesting when you go out here, every once in a while we'll get a tree out here that, you know, you look at it and you'll go up and it's got good limbs and good branches. All of a sudden then you'll get dead limbs, and you often look at it and say, boy, that needs to be trimmed and cut out of there so the rest of the tree can multiply and do well and blossom like it should. The same principle is being applied here. Jesus Christ gives us essential insight into the matter of spiritual fruit bearing. He is the vine, I am the branch. And so when you think about what condition is necessary for the branch to bear fruit, You know, you and I got to be anchored and to the core of that of the vine. You and I got to get our sustenance from the vine. You and I got to get our strength from the vine. We got to get nourished from the vine. Everything comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter what's going on in the circumstances of our lives, which a lot of things change from day to day, week to week, we never know what a week's going to bring forth. You don't know what a day's going to bring forth. Something can happen and change our life. And so, but we can still be Christians and believers that are fruit-bearing Christians no matter what the circumstance of our life and what's going on. So Jesus is the vine, the believer is the branch. And so you think about the branch must abide on the vine in Him. And so why does the branch need the vine? Why does it mean to abide or to remain in Christ, to abide in Him? Without abiding in Christ, the believer can do nothing on your own. If you're out there trying to do something on your own, you're not abiding in Christ. In John 15 and then verse 8 and verse 16, God is glorified. God in verse 8 and verse 16 is glorified when we bear much fruit. To bear fruit would indicate that we are a disciple, a follower, a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ as we bear fruit for Him and living a fruitful life. God chose us. You find that interesting in the Bible. You know, when you think about that, I didn't go looking for God. I didn't go looking one day to get saved. God found me. God chose me. Christ chose me and then brought my heart under conviction so that then I chose and accepted Him. So God ordained us that we should go forth and bear fruit, and that this fruit would then remain. By bearing fruit as a disciple of Christ, God answers our prayers. Let me share with you some of this fruit. You say, what does this fruit look like? I'm glad you asked. Go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to show you here in Galatians the qualities that God wants to produce in our life as a believer. He wants to have fruit in our life. He wants to be able to have evidence that we're a believer. And you say, well, can there be evidence that we're truly born again, truly saved? Yes, there is. Galatians 5. And you get to chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 23 talks about some of this fruit. And so the qualities that God wants to produce in our lives as a believer are the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in and we're saved, we're converted to Christ, then things will begin to change. You're not your own. You're changed. You're changed from the inside out. Many times, you know, we look at it and a person gets saved. They may not have the best habits or doing the best things, but if you'll let the Holy Spirit do His work, God will change a person from the inside out. You don't change them from the outside in. You change them from the God changes from the inside out. And by doing so, by allowing the Holy Spirit to change a person, things begin to show up that had not shown up before. So here in Galatians 5, look at it in verse 22. But the fruit, here it is now, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And he lists nine of them here. So you can kind of take a look at these and say, I wonder how that impacts my life. I wonder since I got saved. So the fruit, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, according to John 15, and you abide in the vine as you are the branch, then some of the evidences will be love. Love, that sacrificial love. He talks about here joy, and joy, literally a joy that brings happiness in the Lord. You know, many times circumstances happens in our lives, and you may not be joyful about some of the circumstances that are going on, but you can always be joyful about what God and what Christ has done in your life. Happiness. He says here, another fruit is peace. You know what that peace is? That peace is an inner calm. It's an inner peace that no matter what's going on, or no matter the turmoil that you might run into, no matter the heartache or pain or struggle you're going through, no matter how difficult the challenge is, you can still have an inner peace that passeth all understanding. That's the fruit of the Spirit that should be evident in the Christian's life, that inner calm. Notice he says long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. And that's another fruit of the Spirit. I know many times God may put us through things or challenge us to go through things or whatever to teach us patience, to wait on the Lord. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to wait on the Lord. But we need to be patient and to wait on Him. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. He says here, gentleness. You know what gentleness is? I put another anonymous word for gentleness in the Bible as kindness. As a believer, as a Christian, we ought to be kind. The Bible says not to hate your brother, not to hate anybody. Matter of fact, you can't even love God properly if you have hate in your heart towards another brother or sister in Christ. So here, a fruit of the Spirit When you're a person in Christ and growing in Christ, and you're a branch connected to the vine and you're abiding in Christ, kindness, gentleness comes along with that as a fruit. Here it is. The next one is goodness. You know, when you think about goodness, boy, oh, the world that we live in needs a lot of good. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I see a lot of evil in our world, a lot of corruptness in our world, a lot of things. And if you look at the scales sometimes, you know, is the world tipping towards goodness or is the world tipping towards evil? And the longer I live in this world, the more I look around and see there's a lot of evil in this world. We need more good. Jesus put it this way, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And here we see the fruit of the Spirit is just goodness, just to be good. Just not on Sunday, but every day, whoever you meet, whoever you talk to, wherever you go, whoever you interact with, be kind. Be good. It'll outweigh that which is evil. And then, if you will, the next fruit is faith. Faith is loyalty. Faith is, matter of fact, God requires faith. And the Bible says you cannot be saved without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1 says we cannot even please God unless we please Him by faith. Which really goes against our human nature, because in our human nature, we want everything by touch or by feel or by sight, or we want to know it ahead of time. God says no by faith and being loyal. God, here's what God wants in our faith. He wants us to be loyal to Him. He wants us, the branches, to abide in Him and be loyal to Him. If we're loyal and abiding in Him, He'll be loyal and faithful and good to us. And so then He gives us, if you will, meekness. Number 8, meekness. You know what meekness is? It's humbleness. Being humble. You know what the opposite of humble, being humble here, opposite of meekness is really pride. And the Bible teaches us a lot about pride, that pride cometh before a fall. That pride was one of the things that caused Adam and Eve to fall into sin. Pride oftentimes will get you and I into trouble. We are to have a meek spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And then, if you will, the Bible says temperance. You know what temperance is here on the fruit of the Spirit? Temperance is self-control. Being able to make wise decisions, being able to read our Bibles and to realize that we're the branch connected to the vine, we're trying to abide in Christ, and we need to control our heart, our thoughts, our minds, our actions, our being, and what we do. To have a little bit of temperance. Self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. So the qualities that God wants to produce in our lives are written right here. God wants to produce these. He wants to produce love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And you and I, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We ought to grow in our character. It's a growth process. The day you get saved, you are put on a learning curve. The day you get saved and you begin to abide in Christ, you don't get it all overnight. You don't get an injection of it all at once. You get it little bit by little bit, step by step along the way. You're growing and developing your character in Christ. Some will grow and mature maybe at a faster pace than others. Not everybody's the same. Depends on you and your abiding in Christ and your love for Him and in the Word. And so here in Philippians 4, you know, growing in our character is a distinctive mark of the Christian life. It's a pattern of behavior. Paul put it like this in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, he says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Did you ever ask yourself, did you ever think about what you think about? Think about that. As you go through the week, there's a lot of things because there's a battle going on for the mind. And you and I do have the ability to control our thought processes and what you're going to allow in and what you're not going to allow in and what you're going to give time to and attention to. So you really need to think about, we all need to think about what we think about and how you're going to focus and how you're going to navigate and go through the day. It's a part of growing your character. It's a part of abiding in Christ. It's a part of the branch being connected to the vine. So truth and honesty and just and pureness and lovely and of a good report, six things to think upon in building your character as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 4, while we're right there, you're over just a page or two to Colossians 4 and verse 6. What did he say here in verse 6? Let your speech be always with what? Grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Did you ever say something maybe even to a family member, a friend, a coworker, another believer, or a lost person. You say something comes out of your mouth, you say, boy, I wish I'd have thought about that a little bit more. Because once you let the words go, you can't pull it back. Once it's been said, and so think about that. Let your speech always be with grace, and always let your speech be seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That is part of being a fruitful Christian and allowing the believer to live a godly life in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, keeping our conversation honest. When spoken against by evildoers, they can see our good works, which will glorify God. Sometimes the only Bible that the unbeliever, the non-believer, will see out there is you and I, the believer that are in Christ, what we do, how we act, what we say, where we go, how we handle ourselves. And that may have an impression and impact somebody and say, you know what? There's something different about you. What is it? That boy, that opens up a door for you to share with them. It's because of Jesus Christ. And I would not be who I am if it were not for Him. And it's Him trying to, you and I, the branch abiding in the vine. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And to Him be the honor and the glory and praise. So when you think about it here, and that all three of these references build character in us and fruitful living. 2 Peter chapter 1, God has equipped us to grow in our character. In verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, if we've added to these, well, let me show it to you. Go over to chapter 1 there in 2 Peter, and let me show you. These are important for you because it's all part of growing in Christ and building our character in Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, and you get down there, if you will, verse 2, verse 3, and verse 4. Peter said this, grace in verse 2, and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us into glory, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Part of the Christian life, and part of trying to live the Christian life, part of trying to be a fruitful Christian, is taking on the divine nature, now that you're saved, walking after the Lord Jesus Christ, walking and abiding in Him. And Peter put it this way, he said in verse 5, beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Once you get saved, add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge, add to the knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, if these things be in you and abound, not only are they in you, but they abound, then they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be unfruitful. We want to be fruitful and let God build a character in our lives. And that, so we need to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So as we select these characters here, we want to add them in our Christian life and make sure we take the right steps in the right directions. You know, Proverbs is given to us so that we might grow in wisdom. And the Bible teaches us if you're going to get anything, to get wisdom, to gain wisdom. And I wish I had more time today, but in Proverbs 2, you could go probably chapter by chapter all the way through Proverbs 2, Proverbs 3, Proverbs 9, Proverbs 11, Proverbs 24, all the way through. If you're going to get anything, get wisdom and apply knowledge. James 3 says, how is godly wisdom displayed? What are the characteristics of godly wisdom? It's given to us here in fruitful living. And which one of these characteristics from James, when you look at it, influence our society? J. Oswald Sanders said, wisdom is more than knowledge, which is really the accumulation of facts. It is the right application of knowledge in moral and spiritual knowledge. So think about that. You can have knowledge. You can have some of the greatest knowledge in the world. I've met a lot of people that are really book smart and pretty knowledgeable. They may lack wisdom. The wisdom is to be able to how to apply that. Wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is the, which is the accumulation of fact knowledge, but it's the right to be able to apply that. So let's go back to Philippians. We were in Philippians 3 there. That what Paul said, our changing of attitudes. Notice Paul's difference here and these changing attitudes and that Paul gave. Philippians chapter 3 And you get to Philippians 3 and you get to verse 4. Paul said this, Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching a law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, and persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, and blameless. Now here's where it comes, the key to focus in on verse 7. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, as the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That's what really about being a fruitful Christian, that I may know him, abiding in Christ, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I like that. He says this. Notice this now. You got to keep this. You got to underline this. Put an asterisk beside this. This one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Fruitful living in Christ. What does that mean? It just looks like explained to us here in the book of Galatians. Paul explains it again in Philippians. We find Peter explains more of it over in 2 Peter chapter 1. So why would Paul have such a positive attitude about the future? You know, when you look at it, if you really dwell on it, are you going to focus on the glass half full or the glass half empty? The future can be bright, and what you're looking forward to depends on what you're looking. If you're looking at the daily news and the economical, political arena or whatever's going on out there, it can get pretty dismal at times of being. Depends on what you focus on. Depends on what you're going to look at, what you're going to read, how you're going to control your thoughts and your heart and your mind. So Jesus, in teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, gave us some ingredients to live in a happy and a holy life. He talked about what? Being poor in spirit. That's just recognizing our own poverty in spiritual things. He talked about blessed are those who mourn. You know what that just simply is? Those that are sorry for their sin. Jesus talked about blessed are the meek, having the strength to bring yourself under control and living a disciplined life. Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger. Hunger for what? Holiness, godliness, a desire to be fruitful, a desire to be, according to John 15, a part of the branch tied to the vine and abiding in Christ. Blessed are the merciful, having compassion, and God knows the world that we live in needs compassion. Blessed are the pure in heart, those that are free from moral sin. Blessed are the peacemakers that promotes peace by reconciling others in this world that we live in. And blessed are those that are persecuted, oppressed for Christ's sake. That's the promise. Theirs, the Bible says, is the kingdom of heaven. So the question is, which one is right for you and I? God desires that we be fruitful. God desires that we grow in our character. God desires that we grow in our wisdom. And God desires that we have changing attitudes and that we, as the branch, abide in the vine and stay connected to him. And if you stay connected to him, you'll grow a fruitful, productive life that's based on Galatians 5. It's based on Philippians 3, Philippians 4. It's based on 2 Peter chapter 1. Living a fruitful life. The Holy Spirit will help you and I to be able to do that very thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today it's our desire, our humble desire as we bow our hearts before you today, to thank you for our salvation. Thank you that we had the day in our life where we came face to face with the reality that we were not saved, we were lost in our sin, but God, we poured our heart out to you, repented of our sin, asked Jesus Christ to come into our life, and we're born again. So God, today I just pray that we as believers, according to John 15, that we as branches will abide on the vine, realizing today our only hope to do that is Jesus Christ. The only way that we can do that and stay connected to you, God, is on the vine. So may we reassess our lives and reassess our actions and realize that in the life that we live and trying to bear fruit and trying to build character and trying to be who you want us to be, God, that we would often realize that we are just branches. There may be some here today, God, that has been kind of disconnecting themselves from the vine. God, I pray you'd speak to their heart and draw them to the vine, that they would reconnect with you and realize that without you, God, we are nothing. And we can go nowhere and will not grow and will not have the character that we'll need, will not be the fruitful Christian that we need to be. So God, help us to connect to you, the vine that connects us to the Father. And then, God, it's our prayer and desire if there's one here that's not saved today. They don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that they would understand today their need for salvation and to confess their sin, to repent of their sin, and to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by confessing with their mouth the Lord Jesus today and believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that they too can by faith be saved today. So God, I pray if there's one in the audience today, either here or by way of the live stream, they'd open their heart and say, God, today is the day I want to be saved and open my heart up to you. So God, today I'd ask you to pray that you speak to Christians today. Help us to stay connected to the vine that is connected to you. And everything goes through the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today. We're going to extend a verse of invitation as Brother Ron leads us today. If you want to come to pray, I'd be glad to. You can come and pray. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. If you're here and you have questions about church membership or baptism or anything else that we can help you with, we'd love to be able to help you if you just let us know that, if you would, as Brother Ron leads us. Thank you. think about the words of that song. Hand in hand, if you'll reach out, take your hand, connect yourself to Jesus Christ, don't let go for anything. Hang on strong. Use two hands, whatever you got to do. As the branches, stay connected to the vine, who stays connected to the Father, and you'll be in the right spot for fruitful Christian living. And all God's people said, amen. Be seated just for a moment. A little over 2 years ago, I think it was, our church started a new ministry called Faith Bible Institute. And that was started here by Angie and Devin Grant when they started. It's a great ministry to be able to further your Christian education after high school or whatever. And you can work, you can just take one course, you can take a whole series of courses. We're going to look at a video here, and then Albert's going to come, and Teresa or whatever, and they're going to talk about FBI. It's getting ready to start up August the 15th. So I think we have a video, and if we'll go ahead and show that video on Faith Bible Institute.
Hi, my name is John Yates. I'm the president and an instructor at Faith Bible Institute, and I would like to invite you to join with tens of thousands of Christians from hundreds of churches in countries around the world for an incredible, life-changing journey to the world's most exciting book, the Bible, the very words of God Himself. This is semester number 4, and that means that this semester in Old Testament, we will discover the dangers of sin and the pathways of revival under the time of the kings of Israel and Judah, including the great civil war that divided the nation, the revivals of the southern kingdom of Judah, and the great apostasies of the northern kingdom of Israel. We will also see archaeological confirmation for these ancient kings, as we see an actual depiction of an ancient Jewish king, 4 of the royal seals of the kings of Judah, and an Old Testament inscription that names 8 Old Testament kings. Then we will study the boldness of the great prophet Elijah and the spiritual power of Elisha. Then in Obadiah, we will see the amazing protection of God for His people. In Joel, we will see amazing prophecies of locust and last days. In the book of Jonah, we will study the story of the greatest revival of all time. And in Amos, we will see the story of a part-time southern country farmer turned prophet who went to the big city with a plain-spoken message to prepare to meet God. Then in New Testament this semester, we begin with 1 Corinthians, where we see the answers to the problems and the questions of the local church, where we will examine great chapters on spiritual gifts, on love, on the resurrection, and on marriage. In 2 Corinthians, we see the heart of Paul as in no other book. In Ephesians, the glories of Christ and the church as the body of Christ. In Colossians, we will see the preeminence of Christ. And in Philippians, we will learn how to walk in joy above and beyond our circumstances. And in Philemon, we will see a story of forgiveness that ended slavery in the ancient world. And then in theology this semester, we study the great doctrine of salvation, as we see why salvation must be by Christ, by grace through faith alone. We will study the great doctrines of substitution, justification, sanctification, glorification, and much, much more. We will also do an in-depth study of the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer, including answering all of the challenges brought against this great truth. We will also look at a biblical balance in the great debate between predestination and free will. Then we will study how that you can have an absolute assurance of your salvation, and we will share with you how to lead a soul to Jesus Christ. It's going to be a great semester, and I hope to see you in class.
Right, right on, folks. And like I said, this ministry was started, I think, 2 years ago, and they're ready to go in their third year. And Albert's going to take and Teresa and just highlight a few things about the ministry. I appreciate them leading this ministry up for us. God bless you.
As was mentioned, the new semester starts August 15th. Now, the course is a 6-semester revolving course. So even though this is semester 4, you will be able to jump in at any time and not feel lost at all. All right? Listen, we have at any given semester, we have 25 to 30 students, and some are in class every week, and some take it online. So if your job or other commitments don't allow you to be in class every week, you can certainly take the course online. As a matter of fact, we have a number of folks here that are currently taking the class or have taken the class. Will you all stand up for a moment? If you're taking Faith Bible Institute or have taken, you can see they're all throughout here. And any one of these folks can go ahead and answer questions for you, can talk to them at any given time. And we really enjoy the fellowship together.
And we'll be in the lobby in case anybody has any questions for us.
Thank you, Albert and Teresa. I appreciate that. And like they said, they'll be out there. If you have any questions, see them. And it's an opportunity to get engaged in your further Bible study. Where's Rachel Lynn? Is she in here? Rachel Lynn McDonald? Okay. Well, anyway, I thought she was going to make an announcement today, so let me make it for her. In your bulletin, take a moment to make sure you read the handout. She put it in there. Getting ready for Child Evangelism Fellowship, and she is heading up a five-day club, and that if you have anybody that you would like to be interested in, she's wanting to get anybody that will help her on canvassing on Saturday, July 22nd at 9:30. They're going to meet here at the church, and then on Saturday, July 29th at 6:30 p.m., and they're going to do some canvassing in the neighborhoods to round up children and people to come for Child Evangelism Fellowship. Last year they did this. They had a great child evangelism fellowship. It was Monday through Friday. I think they had some that got saved in that. I know they have a couple high school girls that come along with the Child Evangelism Fellowship and work in that. So it's an opportunity to evangelistically to win people to Christ, but also to disciple and that boys and girls and to get them into church. So it's a great continuation. This would be year two. She did it last year, did a great job. And so pray for Rachel. She's got a lot on her plate right now, but when she's back over here, we'll let her talk to you a little bit more in detail about that. Right as we say amen today, in the chapel, the Golden Agers are headed out to Shipshawana in the morning, and so they're going to have a meeting. So if you're going to Shipshawana with that group, just slip out of the sanctuary into the chapel over here, and you can meet with Barb Atkins and the group over there as they get ready to go to Shipshawana. Other than that, read the bulletin, a lot going on. And again, thank you for being in the Lord's house today. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's stand together. And good to see you in church today. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. It's always great to be able to be in your house to worship you. Thank you for Brother Ron. Thank you for the praise team. Thank you for their preparation, hard work, and leading our hearts in worship today. God, we thank you for the word of God. May John chapter 15 speak to each and every one of us. And to realize that, God, we want to be as connected to you as we possibly can be. And in order to do that, we as the branches got to stay connected to the vine and then to live a life that is fruitful in our living, realizing that the Holy Spirit will bring that fruit and evidence in our Christian lives. God, we pray for the prayer requests mentioned today. Have your hand upon each and every one. God, we love you. These people love you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Have a great day. Service is tonight at 6:00.